Welcome to the Designated Drinker Show, the podcast that's raising the bar on craft cocktails. I'm your host, Louise Sullis, and with me is my very, very, very talented friend, who is also my superhero, the mixtress, DC Gina.
I love that.
Yeah. So do you run around in like special spandex underpants?
I mean, I could take off my pants. Just go right off the rails, right off the jump on this one.
Why not? All right. So speaking of superheroes, we all know Batwoman, right? Mm-hmm. All right. But do you know Batgirl?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, for those of us who don't, let me give it a little bit of her background. Many of us know Gotham City, and the streets were rough, but yet they have many, many guardian angels. And one of the first was Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Batgirl. So she's always existed between two worlds. Her life at home as the only daughter of the police commissioner, of course.
Commissioner Gordon, yes, please.
Yes,
go on.
James Gordon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good job. And, oh, I know why you know this now. Neil! and her life swinging from gargoyles as an associate of the Dark Knight and a founding member of Birds of Prey. So through the two halves of Batgirl's life, although they didn't always mesh, she always stayed true to the things she believed in, which is what brings me to today's designated drinker. I believe they both have this in common. Now, our guest may not swap her power suit and heels for a mask and a cape, but maybe she does, and I just don't know it. I wouldn't doubt it. She does dedicate part of her life to doing good for others. And I go as far as saying she has become somewhat of a superhero herself because she brings people together in order to help those in need within their shared community. She is my friend and a co-founder of Alexandria Women for Good, Laura Turner. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what about the super underpants, the cape?
I mean, I will neither confirm nor deny.
Good answer. So I definitely want to find out all about Alexandria Women for Good. But first, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? I mean, you have such a great story and like this amazing career. So what brought you to Alexandria in the first place?
Yeah, so I am born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. Absolutely beautiful place. And then I lived in Boston, New York City, Kansas City, and then back to St. Petersburg, Florida. Again, still wildly beautiful. But I recognize I started missing the seasons and some of the culture. So it made sense for me, some personal things, professional things, to move to the D.C. area, and I fell in love with Old Town Alexandria. I like the quaint community, I like the charm, and I like the close proximity to D.C.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people.
Yeah. I think that's all the things why people love Alexandria. It's like walkable.
That's what I was going to say. You guys like it because you can walk to the bars.
I mean, there's that.
It's like 100% why people are like, why do you love your city? Oh, you can walk to the bars.
Like, but okay. You know what I really like? And to your point, yes, I do. If anyone knows me, I would never deny that. Half the people who know me will be like, oh, in which we joke. And you say, that's exactly how I met Louise. She picked me up in a bar. But I also think it's that when you go out, you see your neighbors. You literally see your neighbors. You see the same people. I know so many people in Alexandria that please don't ask me their names. Now, I've sat and talked to them a handful of times, and I might even know their children's name, and I might be helping their kids. I actually am helping this couple. Their son has a graphic design background just out of school. I'm making connections for them. Please don't ask me their name because I can't remember their first names, and I probably have known them for a good 6 or 7 years. So it's funny how Alexandria works, but I think it does, you're so close to you don't feel like you're in the burbs at all. You're not in the burbs because it's walkable and but it's also not a big city either.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice little pocket.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. Like you said, walkable. There's enough to do here, but if you want to do more, there's D.C., there's the mountains, wineries, all the things.
To get a good bagel, we have to go into Buffalo and Bergen, but, you know, we do it.
There you go.
It's worth the nine. It's all 9 miles.
It's 9 miles?
It's nine miles.
Is that far?
Yeah, 9 miles.
Let's open one here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be nice. It could be like a just stroll down. I know, Gina! You know I do it.
It's mostly for just the drinking. You'd be like, all right, let me get my morning cocktail. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Dave They're Dave and Gina are from the same neighborhood almost.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, New York.
How that crazy is that?
It's weird, right?
When Dave first met Gina, we were he had come, he was deployed, and came back, and we were at what was her bar in her partner bar. I don't know. Anyway, it was her bar in D.C., and I was waiting for her to meet Dave for the first time because we had already been working some other things and spending some time together, and he could hear her, and she's definitely working the room. She's working down the bar, talking to everybody. Yeah. Dave could hear her, and he said, "Where is she from?" I was like, "Well, I told you she's from New York," and he's like, "But where?" I was like, "Long Island." And he's like, "But where on Long Island?" And I'm like, "Fuck if I know." And, you know, because him, he knew it. He's like, "You're from Floral Park," or what are you? What
Elmont.
Elmont. Yeah. And sure enough, because he could tell from her accent exactly where on Island, because they're from the same, she went to the same high school as my father-in-law. What small world.
That's a small world.
Yeah.
So. Weeds has been on the sauce today, everybody.
No, okay, like, I know.
Laura, what else do you do?
My point is how you meet people, make friends, right? All right.
Alexandria, a great place to live. Let's go to the bar right now. It's fine.
Hey, why not?
All right, I want to know what you do. Go, cool, let's do it.
Yeah, so find, what do you do as a day walker, as Gina would call you?
Okay, so I think that's such a DC question. What do you do? So I've changed my answer to that. I'm like, I'm happy. I love to live a fulfilling life and have fun.
Yeah. Yes.
Not what anyone wants to hear.
Yeah.
Outside of that, what do I do for work? Software sales. So I'm in technology. I pivoted my career away. I had a long staffing leadership career, so staffing and recruiting firms, and pivoted my career in 2015 away from leadership and staffing and recruiting firms, and then have really aligned with technologies that support that particular industry. So now I sell technology to that industry. It's a lot of fun.
That's amazing. Are you saying that you do for the community? What, am I missing
something? So here's why this is important, because she does have this really successful career that's obviously very demanding, but yet she still carves out time to start Alexandria's Women for Good. So.
You're a saint. Is that what? That's where it is, Batgirl. Right.
There you
go.
So
it took me a second to get there, and I haven't had a drop of liquor yet.
So good thing you're here now.
I just showed up, everybody. So. Hi, Gina. Been here long. Alex is like, please stop talking.
So what inspired you to start Alexandria? I mean, because my point is, you have this full life, but yet you felt compelled to do this.
Yeah, so I do have a very full life with the things that I choose to do and that I want to do. One of the things moving here that was important to me was to make strong friendships and connections. When I moved here, I knew a handful of people kind of in the DMV. And I started hosting these like happy hour groups around town for women. Met some friends, had some great times. That was wonderful. That was a great start to developing relationships. But kind of, you know, after a couple months of that, it was great. But I recognized I wanted to do something a little bit more meaningful. So myself and my other co-founder, whose name is also Laura, we built and developed Alexandria Women for Good. And what we are is we're a giving circle. And we work with women, we bring in new members who want to help their community and donate to their community, as well as increase and really kind of fulfill their personal and professional lives. So you buy in at $100 a month, a quarter for a donation. It's $400 a year. And we pool our money together quarterly and support local nonprofits. And in tandem with that, you know, Louise and I, we knew each other briefly before this, but really have kind of developed our friendship and relationship, and then, you know, several other women as well. So it's a great opportunity to not only support the community, but also to build those strong friendships and networking for business opportunities. And it's been a ton of fun.
Yeah. That's why I think it's really, really important. It was something that I kind of... Laura's right. We met briefly at a charity event, and she was with somebody who I also met briefly. This kind of comes back to the whole story. She's friends with Divya. I had met Divya like once or twice at a bar, literally in Old Town, but we hit it off. We kind of chatted, ran into them here. And Divya thought I said she stole my glasses. That's a whole nother funny story. But then I just recognized Divya. I didn't really know her, but I recognized her and we started chatting, and then Laura and I became friends. I think that's just the part of living in Alexandria, but I think what you did was such an amazing thing to take this natural thing that happens, or just organic thing that happens in Old Town, but make it so that it goes for something good. Like, you really brought in a really nice component to make it worthwhile beyond just the friendships, like, to your point.
So you joined?
I did. I've been a part
almost since the beginning.
Yeah. And so it's really nice to see. I mean, Laura did all these efforts. And what was the first donation?
So our first donation, so we founded the group in October of 2022. So fourth quarter of 22 was our first, what we reference as donation cycles. We were able to raise $6,720. And that was our first check. We voted as a group to support Community Lodgings in Alexandria, which is an organization that provides low-income housing. But in addition to the low-income housing, they have skills training programs. They do a lot with after school and homework tutoring for the kids. It's a really cool organization.
That's so important.
And yeah, we had the opportunity. We were invited in to tour the facility. We like to do something fun. We do our big checks. So we come with one of those Ed McMahon style big checks, present that. It's good for a little bit of local press. And, really allows us to kind of see exactly where the donations are going.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was our first donation cycle.
Yeah.
And that's a cool program.
And then the more women who join, the more money there is to give. So yeah. Laura has grown this from this little small organization to something that's giving away over 10,000.
Yeah.
And more the last quarter, am I wrong?
We're right in between this quarter that just ended as well, so there'll be four of them, right in between $10,000 and $11,000.
That's
what our quarterly donation is. Yeah, and kind of the thought is, I could certainly donate, $400 on my own to an organization, and they would certainly be appreciative. But when we when we join forces and pool our donations together, $10,000 or $11,000 for a hyper-local Alexandria-based nonprofit is a big deal for some of these programs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about, what you just said. It's even school lunches after school, all those programs and stuff like that. I think about my kids now. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot of money to hire somebody to even do that, one day a week. Imagine, being able, and they apply, right? Like, a nonprofit applies for the grant, or you just give it to somebody.
So what we do, they don't have to apply. Each member has the opportunity every quarter to nominate a nonprofit. You certainly don't have to. So you nominate a nonprofit, and then when we go ahead and have what's called our quarterly gather and grant, which is where we come together as a group, and each one of those nonprofits who have been nominated by one of our members, that member is going to stand up and say, hey, this is why I've nominated this nonprofit. This is why they're important to me. This is why they're important to our community, and this is what they do. You can certainly invite somebody from the nonprofit to come in and talk about that, but it's really kind of more of the personal piece to it.
I love that.
Yeah. It's fun.
It's really nice.
Yeah, we just had ours, 2 weeks ago. We had a great turnout, a really wonderful time.
Yeah.
You'll have to come to the next one.
Yeah, it varies.
Well, I don't live here. Is that okay if I come?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. No. Look at her face. Where do you live? Do you live in D.C.?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
We'll let you come on over.
It's worse. I live in Maryland.
All right, maybe. We'll see.
All right, she does come with some tips and tricks, so maybe we should invite her.
You're in.
All right. Speaking of.
Okay.
Let's go do it.
That's done.
All right.
Well, I have heard that these may look like crab legs. So let's see if I can crack one. Oh, I can. I can crack one of these crab legs. It's not crab-legged at all. Matter of fact, it's the most delicious smelling crab leg if there was. Anyway, let's get to it, right? This is not a crab leg. And if some of you will know what this is, and some of you have heard of this thing, and some of you have tasted this thing in almost all of your Thai food, this is the beautiful lemongrass. And it is one of the most beautiful and underutilized in American cuisines. Stalks, right? I use this in my matzo ball soup at Buffalo and Bergen.
It's a mainstay ingredient, and I love it, right? Look at it. It's all like broken up and beautiful and lovely. And then can you eat this like that? Let's see. I'm gonna go with you shouldn't, because it's really stalky and really gross. So let's kill that and not do that, but let's show you exactly how to use this, right? So we had a little bit of fun with it, and now we'll show you what the real deal is. So, lemongrass. If you threw this in your stock pot, just the way it is, or you're making a simple syrup, it will do absolutely nothing. And what you do need to do is you need to go through and you need to split off the husk of this, right? Because it has a lot of sand. No matter how much you clean it, it won't come off. So you need to take this whole little first layer off, and you're left with something that's nice and clean like this. Now, why the knife? It's a big knife. That's quite a knife. All right, so here we go. The reason why I have this knife that's this big, no, we're not gonna chop it into little pieces and, you know, play a chef show. We are gonna take the back of the knife, not the sharp side, the back of the knife in our hand, and we're gonna use it more like a cleaver, right? And you're going to break this down into little itty bitty pieces. Now, would you do it like this for your soup? No, but for your simple syrup, the more that you expose of this beautiful stalk, the more you will taste the lemongrass in your drink. And that is how you have to do it. Now, can you put this into a food processor? Yes. Will you spend the rest of the day taking all the fibers out of it? Yes. So what I always suggest is that you just kind of take it and go, some things are just not gonna become robotic. And chopping this up really, really minced tiny and getting this little itty bitty flakes, if you will, of lemongrass and using it in simple syrup, and you're gonna do the same thing. So if you have 1 cup of lemongrass, it's 1 cup of sugar to 1 cup of water. You wanna change it up a little bit, you could do 1 cup of lemongrass, 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of soju or a sake or different flavors like that. And you're gonna make this beautiful simple syrup, and what you're gonna be left with is this really beautiful, delicious, lovely lemongrass syrup that is going to blow your cocktail away.
I have to love how you hacked up that lemongrass crab leg.
I still can't, I think it's funny that you're like, oh, that's a, it looks like a crab leg. I'm like, it does not, all right, maybe it does a little bit like a crab leg, and I didn't know. But now you know how to use it, right? Like, you're gonna like break it up, you're gonna put it in your soups, you're gonna use it for your cocktails, and you know what? Good.
I made better for it. I just never knew it.
And you can taste it in the cocktail soon.
I know, there you go. There you go. All right, well, where are they gonna go to get this tips and tricks?
You're gonna go to designateddrinker.show for our tips, tricks, and how-tos and the recipe. And then you can follow us on Instagram if you wanna see me hack that lemongrass live for you. I guess not live, not live.
But in action.
In action.
Let me see Gina in action. In
a Batgirl cape. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
And a mask. No.
I was gonna say at least in her spandex underpants.
Yes, yes. Today, maybe. I was just thinking what I had on. Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Well, you did see me change the hallway, so maybe.
So just maybe.
And I just met Laura. She's like, you're not invited to the group now.
No, you're definitely invited. If you're wearing spandex, Wonder Woman stuff, Batgirl stuff, you're invited.
All right, so if you didn't catch any of that, don't worry. Just scroll down into your episode notes. We'll have hot links there. It will take you to designateddrinker.show because, again, we have just started our seventh, so we're like starting our seventh season, a couple in. There are 6 seasons of recipes, so that's our library of libations. So there's a lot of content that you're going to want. So head over there. Again, if you missed it, I'll have a hot link there for you. We'll also have a link to Instagram, so you can definitely see Gina do all her tips and tricks and how-tos. And the one other thing we want to make sure is we're going to have a link to Alexandria Women for Good, because again, you could start your own. You may not be in Alexandria. Of course, we want you to be a part of our group. But if you're not, you can start your own group, damn it.
Absolutely.
And spread more good throughout the world. So, and all this brings us to the end of part one with designated drinker and co-founder of the Alexandria Women for Good, Laura Turner. But if you're anything like me, and you may not know Laura, but definitely Laura too, or Gina, one round is never enough. So go top off that drink and get ready for part two of this episode as we continue our boozy banter. And Gina's gonna share a cocktail that I am sure will honor all the good in the world. Right, Gina?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
Cheers. The Designated Drinker Show is produced by Missing Link, a Latino-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, we craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Also in the Missing Link lineup of podcasts is Roger That, a podcast dedicated to guiding you through the haze of dementia, led by skilled caregivers. Now, if you're looking for a whole new way to enjoy the theater, check out Between Acts, an immersive audio theater podcast experience. Each episode takes you on a spellbinding journey through the works of newfound playwrights, from dramas to comedies and everything in between. Find Missing Link's League of Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, please don't forget to follow, download, and review the shows. Your reviews help our shows reach new audiences. To find out more about Missing Link, visit missinglink.company. That's missinglink.company.